Well, let's welcome you back to This Week in the Association. I'm joined once again by my good buddy Kevin Lucco from the 10th Inning Stretch. Kevin, it's wintertime. I'm getting a little snow both in Kansas and in Minnesota, believe it or not.
Yeah, it's this time of year just sucks. We really don't have any kind of a snow cover to make it look festive, but it's too cold to get the leaves raked or really do anything fun outside. It's just a really blah time of year. And now with daylight savings time, I guess maybe the merciful part is it's dark earlier where we don't have to look at all the brown outside after 5 o'clock in the afternoon. But yeah, this just gets to be the really depressing part of the year. Is this setting a good tone for the show here? I'm just dropping right into doom and gloom within the first half minute.
Well, I'm
seeing all the people like hitting stop on their other players right now.
Well, I'm not gonna lie, Kevin. I'm a huge fan of cold and snow, so this is my time of the year, and so if anything, fans will get to go out and enjoy that big Red Bull crashed ice going on in downtown St. Paul in another couple of months there. So,
oh, that's not going to be here this year.
Oh, are you serious?
I saw something a month or so ago that said that St. Paul is not on the tour this year.
What is going on with that? That was one of the funnest events there is. Well, they just ruined it now. So
Now, don't get me wrong. I don't hate winter completely. I don't mind it. When you get enough snow cover where it looks winter-like, but you can still drive around. Then it gets to the hockey season, full-fledged hockey season, which as much as Minnesota's a state of hockey, it really doesn't become full-fledged state of hockey until the Vikings have their inevitable end-of-the-year collapse. Then everyone kind of starts focusing on hockey. And then winter's all right. You don't mind seeing your breath. You don't mind inhaling that cold air. And, yeah. Until then, yeah, it kind of sucks.
Yeah, what better than to walk outside in the middle of January to see your breath freeze? I mean, that's good stuff right there. So,
And feel your nostril hairs freezing up and icicles forming from the goatee. Oh yeah, Minnesota. I guess I'm kind of blowing my chance of getting land a job with the Minnesota Tourism Department.
Yes, he will not be the spokesman for Love Minnesota this year or something. Man, moving to Boston this year. I'm upset, Kevin. I'm not gonna lie. Red Bull crashed ice, moving to Boston. I'm upset.
I found it kind of interesting. I was in Iowa for Minnesota Wild St. Louis preseason game, and one of the sponsors on the dashboards on there was the Explore Minnesota Tourism. I thought that was kind of interesting, and I'm trying to convince some Iowa people that Minnesota is a much nicer place to go to in the winter.
And that's why you were there, to promote Minnesota. Well, Kevin, let's get back into the show here for today. The American Association releases their schedule yesterday, a long delay of a few weeks trying to get some scheduling worked out, but finally comes out. A few big news we want to talk about. Let's start with the fact of division alignment. Just as we thought it would be, Sioux Falls moves to the south. Chicago and Milwaukee will wind up being the sixth team in the North Division. No big surprise to either one of us on that.
No, not really. I guess it was the only possible solution. The positive that comes out of it is that you get Sioux Falls and Sioux City back in the same division once again, but it does geographically make the league look a little awkward when you draw the line from north to south. But
to accommodate this unusual the south having such a long a big area that needs to be covered, the league deciding to not go along with last year's schedule where they had you played 12 games against the teams in your own division and six against the teams from the other division. This year, kind of what they've done from previous years where it's just, you might wind up with a team 19 times this year. To be honest with you, not a big fan of that, Kevin. I really liked last year's format and kind of disappointed to see that go.
I'm right with you. I did like the balanced schedule, and what it did, it eliminated a lot of the grousing about, well, we had to play Sioux City 12 times, and our rival only had to play him 3, and it just made things a lot more formal. I guess only sticking point could be when it came to playoff time that some people in the North were saying, well, the South teams will have the home field advantage because they got to play Texas and Cleburne twice as many times as we did. But, yeah, generally, though, I liked the balanced schedule, and it just led to a lot fewer debates.
The change in schedule will also lead to the change in playoffs this year. Last year, there was no day off between the end of the season on Labor Day, and it just began the next night on Tuesday for game one. This year, they're giving that day off back.
Yeah, I think they listened to Mother Nature. Mother Nature didn't like the North Division starting with no day off. So, if you remember,
a lot of rain.
She pretty much threw a 24-hour deluge of water on St. Paul to make sure that game one that started on Wednesday when it should have instead of on Tuesday.
Spring training will begin on May 4th, and it will be. I believe that the season will begin itself on the 16th. We will be starting out with This Week in the Association with our new video version that will be coming out just before the beginning of the season, probably the 13th or 14th, where Kevin and I will be visiting with Kansas City T-Bones play-by-play guy Dan Vaughn to start out the season. So we'll give you more information about that as it comes up. But May 4th really isn't that far away, Kevin.
Are we going to have to wear makeup?
No, absolutely not. We're just going to enjoy being out in the sun. So
I was at a podcast last night, and I'll probably reference this several times during the show, but Michael Russo, who covers the Minnesota Wild for The Athletic, is a well-known hockey beat writer here, and him and Jim Suhan, a writer for the Minneapolis Star Tribune, they do a podcast, and they broadcast it from DeLuno's Pizza in downtown Minneapolis. So I took it in live last night with a friend of mine that writes for the Star Trib, who knows both of those guys well. But part of the show, they were talking about people don't realize it, but when they go on TV, they do have to wear some makeup and that. And it can be pretty unnatural for a guy to have to figure out what they have to put on, so I'm kind of relieved that I guess we're going to go all natural, so to speak, no makeup.
Well, if that does become a problem, we do know the perfect consultant and our good buddy Jen Halverson. I'm sure she could advise us on what we need to use. So no worries, Kevin.
Oh, jeez. Well, all right. Our eyebrow game will be on fleek.
Well, let's talk about some of the schedule. Not a lot to really kind of get excited about or really kind of get into, as we don't really know how these teams are going to fare out and be put together over the next few months. But there were some things that kind of caught our attention, and we'll begin in St. Paul with 10 straight games at home for the first time in franchise history. So it's going to give the Saints kind of an opportunity to get off on the right foot.
I believe Sean, in one of his releases, did mention there was one other time they were at home for 10, and it was in 2005.
Let's check
this
out.
6-4.
You are correct. Yes, it was. 10 straight at home. 6-4. You're right. So, good information.
I'm not smart. I just listened to the right people.
They were in the South Division then. How about that?
Yeah, it was, once again, it was kind of a crazy time as far as how they lined up their divisions. But, getting back to what we're talking about here. 10 at home to start. I was thinking about that today. You're looking at that's 20% of your home schedule is going to be wiped out by June 1st.
It's interesting to see how that works with promotions.
You put that in Major League Baseball terms, could you imagine a team having a 20-game homestand?
Yeah, I don't see that at all. That would be pretty crazy.
So that's... I guess maybe that's not the perfect math there. I guess I was just kind of doubling it, but
well,
it'd be like a
pretty close to that,
like an
18 though.
Game homestand.
Yeah,
right.
That'd be a lot of games to start out your season with. That's for sure.
Right.
And you got to think if you don't get off to a really good start there, you're kind of, I mean, I understand the Saints played really badly at home at first to start out last year and were playing exceptionally well on the road, but you got to believe if you're going to be a championship team, you got to come away from that 8-2. If you come away 5-5, you just threw away five chances to be division winners, I would think.
Yeah, and it'll balance itself out as they do their annual road trip down south during when the Minnesota High School Baseball Tournament kind of takes over CHS Field. So yeah, it'll be about even.
The Saints open with the new Milwaukee Milkmen, and interestingly enough, all of Milwaukee's games in St. Paul will be played by June 9th. I found that kind of astounding that all six games would be gone right off the bat.
Yeah, that might be an advantage for St. Paul because, as we saw with Chicago, a lot of, you know, these, and we've seen in the past too, these new teams, a lot of times they might not have the right mix of players to start their season out with, and they do tend to struggle a bit, and they get a lot stronger as the year goes on. So if that's going to be the case with the Milkmen, the Saints will, it'll be an advantage to St. Paul to get most of the games with Milwaukee all the way early in the year.
We also see a very interesting series in July starting on the 4th through the 8th, where St. Paul will begin on Thursday and play through Monday, a five-game series in Winnipeg. Scheduled, Kevin, five games in a row.
Yeah, these teams already don't like each other, and now you're going to put them in a five-game series against each other? You know, at home, I have five dogs here. That would, like, be taking my two sheets and absolutely cannot stand each other. I'm putting them in a kennel and expecting them to behave. So yeah, things could be pretty testy by the time they get that five-game set wrapped up in Winnipeg. And if you look at that, if they're close in the division, if one team goes like 4-1 or 5-0 in that, that's going to cause a huge, huge swing in the standings.
It could have to one team, it could kind of end their shot at a first or second place in the division, especially if both of them are around 500, and let's say a team like Fargo is off to a really fast start. You put one of those teams completely behind the eight ball at that point to try to rally back.
Yeah, so the moral story is don't put two Shih Tzus that hate each other in the same kennel.
A good moral to learn. The other big news
you learn about baseball and you learn about dog care. We're just beacons of information for everything today.
And weather.
Learn about weather, yes.
The other big news around St. Paul is that on July 22nd and 23rd, for the second time since CHS Field is open, the team will host the All-Star Game. That was an enormous amount of fun last time, Kevin. Really looking forward to it again this time.
Yeah, I'm looking even more forward to this one. I mean, you and I barely even knew each other when the last time it was here around. Now I like the possibilities of putting together a nice little per se fan fest at some point during the 2-day celebration, because the fun I had was we had a few of the players' fathers tailgating with us, and a couple of my friends from Winnipeg came down with their families, and you know it was. The All-Star Game is nice to watch that. It's good to see these guys get a chance under a full house and that. But to me, it was more about, it was just like a 2-day party, it kind of seemed like, put it in, for lack of a better term. So now that, you know, we're all kind of getting to know each other even better, it just seems like it's just going to even be a better party this year.
I think there were like 8 or 9 scouts at that game too, which is great for the league to have that kind of recognition to draw out a lot of people looking at the talent around the league. So it should be a super exciting time. If you haven't been to St. Paul to see a game, the All-Star Game is a great time. And the home run hitting contest was a lot of fun too. Really enjoyed that.
Yeah, if you're listening to the show and you're a fan of a team in the American Association, or even more so if you work for one, get your butt up to St. Paul for that, because I can guarantee you're going to have a good time. Look us up. Have some brats. Have some beer. We'll show you around. It'll be a fun couple of days.
I just want to say, though, up front, and I was not insinuating in any way that I would be chosen for this in any way, but they did kind of like a local celebrity all-star the softball thing before the home run hitting contest. And if anybody even remotely out there thinks that I'm going to play in that, they can just kick my name off right off the bat. Again, not even assuming for a second that they would think that, but I'm going to eliminate that thought process right off the bat.
You know, I'm going to shoot with you on this one. That was the only aspect of the 2 days that I just didn't really get much into. The local celebrity thing, to me, and I kind of described it to some of the Saints staffers, and they kind of agreed. It was like watching a party that you're not invited to.
Yeah, absolutely.
It just seemed like they all kind of had like their own, you know, everybody knows each other, and they're kind of doing like, almost like inside jokes and that. I found myself during the celebrity softball game just kind of walking around and talking to people and maybe even just paying half attention to what was going on. So, you know, there could be different ideas for what they might want to do for the first night. So we'll see what happens.
The one thing I would like to see happen, and I think it was you who gave me this suggestion a couple of years ago, is what a great opportunity to highlight the rookies around the league. You know, the league promotes itself as being a league dedicated to rookies and first-year player, you know, second-year players kind of thing. And what a great thing to have, you know, a rookie all-star game that
yes,
first night.
Rookies and LS1s are guys that are, like, under a certain age, like under 25. Yeah, then, you know, have them play for like 5 innings and then do your home run derby and then have a concert or whatever.
Yeah, I hope that they would take that advice because I think that is a great idea. I know money is kind of a situation related to that to bring in, you know, 30 more, 35 more players or whatever, but I think that would be sensational for the league to offer that. And I would assume manager George Samus will be managing the North All-Star team. Would that be correct?
Yes, I guess his good friend Joe Calfapietra, so... They're gonna get to spend a lot of time hanging out with each other in the month of July.
We move on to Milwaukee. They open up with 7 against St. Paul, 4 against Fargo, 3 against Sioux Falls, 4 against Kansas City, and 3 against Lincoln. Kevin, we're gonna know a lot about this Milwaukee club a month into the season.
Yeah, boy, if the teams are playing, if they're playing up to their reputation, that's going right into the meat grinder there, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a lot of key games against the North Division, too. So they could find themselves, you know, way behind right off the bat. And I kind of look at this and wonder if could this be like we saw with Chicago last season? They got off to that really difficult 1-14 start, never really seemed to rebound after that. But it took a while, a couple of 3 months before they were really starting to generate, but by that point you're kind of out of the race, and it would be disappointing to see Milwaukee in that same situation just because the start of the season is so tough.
I think a key part of the Milwaukee season is going to be when Kansas City comes to town, because there's going to be one day where Kansas City plays Milwaukee at 11, and then the Brewers at home against Miami at 6. And then the next day, the Brewers play in the afternoon, and Kansas City plays Milwaukee at 7. You see, I'm looking at the schedule this way. What can the schedule do for me? So as a Brewer fan and a fan that wants to see the new ballpark in Franklin, I can squeeze 4 games into 2 days and get my Brewers picks and check out the new ballpark and the new organization and hang out with Dan Vaughn. I mean, what else could a guy ask for in a trip?
Good to know you're looking for all angles of how things are working out for you there. Got to appreciate
yeah.
that.
You see, it's all about what the schedule can do for me. You know, it's like the late Dark Star. He was a media celebrity up here in Minnesota, and he always said, Dark Star's line was, every day I wake up, I look in the mirror, and I say, what can this day do for me? So that's all I was looking at the schedule.
Like last year, after a week out on the road to begin the season, like the Chicago Dogs did, Milwaukee will open at home against those Chicago Dogs. So kind of building up the rivalry right off the bat for this team.
And that would be really neat if you look at the Major League level in the history of the Brewers had a huge rivalry with the Chicago White Sox when they were both in the American League, and now the Brewers and Cubs are one of the top rivalries in the Major Leagues. So, yes, you'd like to see that kind of spread to the American Association, too, and have a good I-94 rivalry with Milwaukee and Chicago.
I remember even when the Bucks and Bulls used to have quite a rivalry against each other in basketball. And so kind of a two towns that really don't like each other, and there's kind of a heated rivalry between them. So hopefully that will catch on. Kevin, we move on to Fargo, and the thing that jumped out at both of us is the random one game that Fargo plays on May 27th as they stop in Kansas City on their way continuing south.
Yeah, it was really strange. Just one day stopover. I can't even imagine, what do you do with that? Do you bus in that day, play the game, and then bus right out, or what do you decide to stay over, if any? So it's going to be kind of an awkward situation.
Fargo also has Trey McNutt signed with the Oakland Athletics. I got to tell you, I'm going to really pat the Michael Schlacht and his staff on the back for this one, because a couple of seasons ago, I know there were some teams around the league that saw McNutt as like, it was their day for their offense to put up big numbers. But he had a fine season last year and really kind of grew and developed as a young man. And I'm glad to see him signing, and I'm going to give the organization a lot of credit for his success.
Yes, and it was it's a good situation when you got a scout like Jeff Bittaker, who's very much in touch with everything that's going on with Fargo, too. So Bittaker's a scout with Oakland, so I'm sure Bittaker was the one that helped necessitate that move. So anyone that knows Jeff Bittaker, great baseball guy, great storyteller, just a fun guy to hang out with. Just a good deal all around. I was in St. Paul last year where I think it was like 7 innings. I think he struck out like 14 guys or something like that. It was just, they all didn't have an answer for him. And of course, later he almost threw the no-hitter in Gary. So you just hope that he goes to their spring training and gets at least a fair shot to land with one of their minor league affiliates. I always worry about the off-season signings because then they go to spring training, and then it's like, okay, is this guy going to just be forgotten as the teams kind of look at more of their prospects they already have in-house? So hopefully he gets a fair shot.
That is always one of my concerns, too, is that a team will sign a guy, and he's kind of given all this opportunity to show, but then when he comes to spring training, they don't really give him an opportunity to do much. So it's kind of a wasted spring training for him in a lot of respects, and I hope he really gets a shot with Oakland. That is one of those kind of clubs that really is focused on developing their own guys, and let's hope that they see Trey McNutt as a guy that they can develop into being one of their guys.
Yeah, you can remember we were concerned about that when the Dodgers signed Wes Darvill from Winnipeg, and Darvill was taking full advantage of the opportunity with the Dodgers. So let's hope that happens with Trey McNutt also.
I couldn't agree with you more. Let's move on to those Kansas City T-Bones, Kevin, who begin the season. They're defending their championship with 3 against Fargo and 3 against Lincoln. I really wanted to kind of talk about these 6 games because this is going to be a real test of what this Kansas City team is going to look like. I think a lot of people are going to be questioning about whether they can repeat this year, and facing the Red Hawks and the Salt Dogs right off the bat is going to answer some of those questions, I think.
Yeah, it does, and then obviously the key is to get off to a good start, and we'll see how many guys are back from the championship team, because sometimes if you have the same team coming back, you can't get that championship hangover a little bit, but we'll see how hungry they can stay. But yeah, you're shuffling the deck a little bit, too, and the teams coming in are going to be different, so it'll be more of a feeling-out process, too. So I don't think you can put a ton of stock in the six games out of a 100-game schedule.
The kind of disappointing thing for Kansas City is no trip to Fargo this year. Again, the change in schedule and how they're doing it this year leaves them not taking their trip to the Fargo area. I was kind of disappointed to see that.
Yeah, no trip to Fargo, but then, you know, the month of August, three series against St. Paul, one in Kansas City, and then two series in a matter of like 2 weeks or so in St. Paul, with one being a, you know, the series, Saturday, Sunday, Monday series. So, yeah, it was kind of odd how that all shook out.
They also have Nick Lee, who signs with the Cincinnati Reds organization, so congratulations to Nick about that. And we close out in terms of the schedule, discussing the Cleveland Railroaders. Our good buddy Brad Allred will be providing a show tomorrow at noon, specifically addressing stuff that's going on around the schedule as well as with the team. And so we're not going to stomp on his thunder whatsoever, but we do want to tell you to go out there and catch his Facebook Live show to see what Brad's got going on, because there will be some good information we're for sure about.
Yeah, he's, you know, he shared it with me, and yeah, it's going to be worth tuning in for. To me, I think one thing that, and this is nitpicking, but I'm really not a big fan of the Railroaders logo. I'd like to either see them do something with the team name or with the logo. It just, and the blue-orange thing, it just doesn't work for me. But, you know, like I said, that's nitpicking, and maybe that's something they might address down the road. But as far as what the thing tomorrow's going to be about, yeah, definitely tune in, because I think we're going to be seeing a new era of Cleburne baseball.
Well, I think you're going to be stuck with that name, because I believe that how they came up with it was there was a the Railroaders have been a long time team in Cleburne, and so it is kind of a callback to a time in the past there that they pulled that out on. I believe there's actually even a Railroaders, some kind of museum dedicated to the baseball team around there, I think, if I remember correctly.
And yeah, and I understand the ballpark also has a railroad theme to it, and I would never advocate changing the name, but just maybe sprucing up the logo would be in order. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but something just isn't clicking there with me.
Orange and blue.
You know me. I'm not a fan of the funky names, and we'll get into that a little bit later. So I'm glad they're keeping the Railroaders name. But yeah, it's just something that's a little more, baseball, like, I guess.
My recap of the Cleburne Railroaders season will be coming out tomorrow as well, so you can read along with my thoughts on what happened this past season and what I'm expecting for the upcoming season coming up there.
How do you introduce that? It's like the first line, it didn't go well.
Well,
the end.
There was a lot of excitement, but didn't materialize, is how the way that works.
Raphael really didn't play much. The end.
Yeah, that was pretty much the recap of the season. Kevin, we got some exciting news out here at This Week in the Association. Why don't you tell us about our Facebook page?
Well, motivation isn't really one of my strong points, but as we're getting into the dead of the off season, I managed to pull up about 30 minutes of motivation and threw together a Facebook page for This Week in the Association, where fans can come on and ask questions, make comments about the show, good, bad, otherwise. Well, preferably more good than bad, but, you know, it's always good to learn both ways. But I'm going to try to do the same thing we're doing with the Twitter page, where I'm going to be posting stuff that's relevant to the American Association or independent baseball in general. So I'm just checking out. Just all you got to do is look up This Week in the Association on Facebook and join the group. I'll let anybody in. Well, almost anybody.
And we don't want to know who it is that he wouldn't let in. So we're not even going to ask. We're not even going to ask who that would be.
Let's just say I'll know it if I see it.
Kevin, there's some news around the world of minor league and independent baseball as some teams have chosen some interesting names for their clubs.
Oh, boy. We were wondering what was going to happen in Amarillo. And let's face it, Amarillo and team names have had a checkered past. When Amarillo joined the American Association, they had a mascot. The mascot was a sock. And look it up on, throw it in your Google machine. Let's just say the foot part of the sock was located at a not-so-ideal spot, if you know what I mean. Let's just say it wasn't very family-friendly. Then they became the Amarillo Thunderheads, and to me that was also very cartoonish, and it just didn't register with me. Just seemed like too many colors in the logo, and just seemed very cluttered. But they have announced that their new minor league team is going to be called the Amarillo Sod Poodles.
Which I always think of when I think of baseball.
What is a sod poodle?
Hey, that's the first thing that comes to mind when I think of baseball.
Does this roll off your tongue? Hey, family, I got tickets to the Poodles game on Sunday.
Yep, that is just, that's primo right there, Kevin.
Could you imagine leaving the Beaver and Ward said, Wally, Dave, get your suits on, we're going to the Poodles game. Oh, boy.
But it doesn't end there.
Oh, no. Oh, no. We go up to Green Bay in the Northwoods League, and we have a team that was the Green Bay Bullfrogs, moved into a different ballpark, and rebranded themselves as the Green Bay Booyah. So I guess we're going to have a team named after Soup with Chicken on Steroids as the mascot.
Oh, ESPN's Dark Shadow looms over the baseball, so...
Who's ready for Booyah Baseball?
And it still doesn't get any better.
Oh, Lord save us. What was our third one? Because we were talking about this before the show.
It was, I got to think of that, what you said.
Yes, the Trash Pandas. Rocket City will be called the Trash Pandas, which is apparently a slang term for raccoons, which, ironically, we had that night in St. Paul last year where they dedicated the night to the raccoon that scaled up a St. Paul building. But, yes, they will be the Trash Pandas. So, yeah, just doesn't really roll off the tongue. Are we going to the Trash Panda scheme tonight?
Well, I got to say, too, though, is that why would you want that to be the kind of the focus of your team? You know, I mean, hey, we're associated with trash. You know, that's a great way to lure people in.
Well, we're actually more like we're named after animals that dig through trash.
Well, yeah, we're really something. I'm stunned.
You know, there's the immediate quick hit. That, oh, cool name, we'll buy some shirts. Jeez, who would name a team that? Oh, we should buy a shirt like that. El Paso saw it. They were always the Diablos. All of a sudden, they got the Triple A team, and they're the Chihuahuas.
Yeah.
So that doesn't really exactly incite fear in the team being the Chihuahuas.
Paris Hilton, your mascot or your official spokesman there, and then when you have a Chihuahua, is that the way that works, or...?
Oh,
boy. They're ruining baseball, Kevin. What can you say about it there? That's how it's working out.
You know, for as much as we talk about like the rules of the game are changing the way baseball's being played, they're ruining the game by shifting, and guys aren't trying to move runners over anymore. Well, I think we got other problems, too.
Yeah. Goes off the field as well. Around the independent baseball, we want to mention that Brian Smith, who was a pitcher with Salina and Lincoln, pitching coach in Salina a couple of years ago, has taken over as the field manager in Windy City there in the Frontier League. And Kevin Wynn, who was the head of umpires, joins the Can-Am League this year as the executive director of the league.
Yeah, it was kind of an interesting move. As we know, Wynn stepped down from head of umpires from the American Association during the summer after there had been a series of events where, really, frankly, umpires weren't really being shown in the greatest light by certain teams. So I don't think, I'd hard to say if this move was in the works already or not, but I did get to meet Wynn a couple times and seemed like a nice guy, so good to see him getting a shot with the Can-Am League.
Yeah, he actually sat up in the press box with me and at the Saints game a few times. Really liked him, so I'm glad that he's in a spot where hopefully it'll be a lot quieter and less stressful for him there, hopefully. So we'll hope on that. Kevin, what else we got going on with Kevin Lucco these days?
You know, I was thought I'd have a reference back to the podcast that I attended last night. You know, as we were talking about before the show, there were teams in the league with the big schedule release yesterday that had nothing about it. Not a mention of the schedule, did not have a PDF file to load with the schedule down. Guys that do the media relations in this league work their butts off. I'm not ever going to discredit what they do. I envy them, I respect them, but this is a prime opportunity to keep your club relevant during a dead time of the year. And another idea I had was, you know, for teams that play in areas where there's some bars or restaurants nearby, I would recommend doing something where, like, every month or every 6 weeks and that, do a podcast or do a show from a bar where, if you got a local player, bring the player in, talk to, just have a freestyle interview at price you can give to people attending, and, you know, keep your team in the news. It's a long off season. We have a longer off season than the other professional sports teams, so it's even tougher to try to keep your team in the public eye, but you can't be missing opportunities like a schedule release to publicize your team, and just maybe do those little extra things during the off season to make sure your fans don't forget about you.
You know, if you think about it too, a lot of the teams that are around the league don't have much else going on around them right now. You know, you might have some hockey teams that are playing maybe even at the junior level or something that's going on. But, you know, there's only like three or four teams that have huge professional teams that are there in their city. And so you might as well start getting people talking about your team right now.
Right, dude. And like you said, it just keeps you in the public eye. Maybe you bring some stuff with to sell and maybe you get a few sales out of it. I know most teams have bars that sponsor or alcohol sponsors where you kind of work in cahoots with them, but, you know, it's a long, cold winter. You might as well try to heat it up a little bit, at least for a night or so, by having a little happy hour get-together. I really enjoyed myself tonight, last night at DeLuno's Pizza, and I just think that doing something with, I just mentioned would go a long ways towards just making that cold winter a little less chilly.
Well, and if you can attract 10 fans, let's just say every time you do something like that, let's say 20, that's 100 other people that might tell other people about it, and before you know it, maybe you're drawing another 1,000 or 1,500 fans more than you would have had just by doing something simple like that. So it's not really that much of an effort to put out there, but it can have big dividends, especially if you start connecting with fans right now.
Yeah, and I think, it's something for the people that would be doing the interviews, too. It's practice for them, doing a freestyle interview show and something for their resume. Put it on the team website and people that couldn't make it out can give it a listen at their free will whenever it works out for them. So not only are you going to entertain the people you're seeing live, but you've got material you can put out on Facebook, Twitter, or any other kind of social media avenue to keep your team relevant during the off season.
And to make sure that you look even better than you are, Kevin and I will happily call into the show, and because we only can improve how well you look by how terrible we are. So, you know, that right off the bat, they're going to see how incredible you are and go, wow, they're better than that Rob and Kevin. How about that?
Yeah, no one can lower a bar better than us.
That's exactly right. So, see, we'll help out. See, look at that. We're looking to help promote as well by ensuring that you always look better. So that's our plan. That's our plan. Kevin, do we got anything going on with the blog these days?
I'm going to kind of go in and see if there's anything in the league schedule and it's worth blogging about. It's just, for me, it's just a tough time of the year where there's just not a lot of news going on. And, you know, it's funny because they were talking about this on the Russo podcast last night. Sometimes the stories are just not there. And if you try to force a story, or in my case, a blog, a lot of times it shows and you just don't get the best effort. So really it's a tough time for a free-form blogger like myself to really put on anything relevant or meaningful this time of year. So if some news comes up, I'll blog about it. Otherwise, I guess it's just my slow time of the year.
It is that time of the year in baseball for right now. But I think what we should look forward to is the fact that we've seen in the last year in particular that there are three or four teams out there that really like to start signing players coming around Thanksgiving and before Christmas. So we could see a busy December around the league, especially if Fargo and Winnipeg and teams like that keep up with how they've been the last couple seasons.
It'd be a busier September if the financial benefactor behind this week in association would send his co-host out to the winter meetings on their dime.
Well, we'll have to talk to somebody about that because that would be a really good idea.
I could drag myself from the sports betting long enough to make at least a couple of appearances. You know, our good friend Joey Mellows from Britain's going to be in Vegas for it, so it'd be nice to see him again. Yeah, speaking of him, I guess he looks like he's going to be back in the U.S. for another go-around at the ballparks next summer.
Yes, he will, and he will be joining us on This Week in the Association on a few of those occasions to give his insights on what's going on around the world of baseball and the American Association. So we're looking forward to including him for next year.
Well, to help him out, too, yeah, he is on Twitter. He's asking if anyone's got a car laying around that he could use all summer. I'm just thinking, well, that might be a little tough to come by. But the idea I had was reach out to these national car rental places, maybe a line up a sponsorship deal where, let's say with Enterprise, they let you use a car all summer, get you a really deep discount. Then you drive around and like put updates on their website about, hey, my Enterprise car is at this park today. We're driving here. We're driving there. So who knows? Maybe one of them will bite on it. We'll see what happens.
It sounds like I may be taking Joey with me some places during the summer. So he may be doing a little traveling with me this summer. So that'll really ruin his year with that. So,
well, you can introduce him to Fountain Sodas.
Yeah. Exactly. That's what I'm going to do. So stopping in Davenport just for that. So, right on.
That'll be the next minor league team, the Soda Ants.
Well, we want to thank you for joining us this week. I am Rob Pannier, joined once again by Kevin Lucco from the 10th Inning Stretch, and we will see you next time on This Week in the Association.